The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Sean Kelly, who is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, former CISO at EPA and former deputy CIO at Veterans Affairs on Federal News Network. Cyber Chat, where government leaders come to discuss the hottest cyber topics affecting us today. Now your host, Sean Kelly.
Today I'm speaking with Gloria Parker, former CIO of Housing and Urban Development and CEO of Parker Group Consulting, and Mr. Kevin Cook, Deputy CIO of Housing and Urban Development. Little background, selling cybersecurity today in the federal government is hard enough, and add COVID, it becomes even harder. Well, today I'm joined by these two very well-respected members of our community to discuss how to sell to the federal government. And though we're talking about cybersecurity, these principles can apply across the entire federal government to any piece of business that we're pursuing. Welcome today to the show, both Gloria and Kevin.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. So, Gloria, I got to start with you. You wrote this book. Can you tell us about it and tell us what inspired the book?
Sure. I wrote a book. It's called The Billion Dollar Secret. It speaks to, the subtitle of it is Secrets to Winning Business from a Former Government Executive. What inspired me to write the book was, you know, having sat on that side of the fence, on the CIO side of the fence for 10 years, I watched people come in and meet with me and really waste a lot of time. They wasted so much of my time. And the things they need to understand are very simple things that if they just put a little work into preparing for the meetings, it would be more beneficial to them as well as, importantly, to the customer that they're calling on. I taught sales at the IBM Corporation during my career at IBM. So one part of that was teaching people how to sell. And it, as you can imagine, it was a very interesting transition to get on the government side, sitting in a CIO seat, having people come sell to me and watching all of the mistakes that they were making and the non-preparation. So that inspired me to write the book. I just felt like I've learned all these things and I should share this with others to help them to be a lot more successful.
Okay, and I think I can share those sentiments as well. And so Kevin, how often do industry business developers call or try to come visit you that aren't prepared?
Sean, you actually would be surprised. It's probably most of the time between the ways I get contacted in terms of either email, LinkedIn, or if they're, you know, call the office. A lot of times it does feel a little unprepared. The first thing they want to do is pretty much talk about, you know, their company and their capabilities. But a lot of those things are things I could read, you know, myself. And sometimes they're a waste of time and they may or may not apply to my needs at that moment.
So Gloria, back to you. So how do people, I have this great new cyber service or this great new cyber technology and I want to go talk. What should I be doing?
If you're selling cybersecurity services or any services, the key is to be prepared. And that means that you do the research to understand what the customer's needs are and what it is that's going to truly help that customer to you know, come upon a better solution to the problems that they're having. There's so many ways to do the research. And I will be honest with you, most business developers that I have worked with in the past just have not taken the time to do the research. As Kevin said, they just want to come in. They come in with a PowerPoint presentation. They want to tell you all of their, who their customers are, what their products and services are, all about their company. Has absolutely nothing to do with understanding or showing understanding of what that customer is really dealing with. So there's several steps. The first one is to do your homework, understand what the customer's pain points, what their needs are, and don't waste the customer's time coming in asking them to do that homework for you. And then once you do understand what their pain points are, what's really bothering them, what really is keeping them on the edge of their seats trying to get these challenges addressed, then you really start to discuss those needs with them. And that's the first order of business. Have a conversation about their needs. And so many business developers and others who call on government executives or any executives, that's what they don't do. As Kevin said, it becomes a waste of time for the customer. And believe me, they will remember that. I remember when I was a CIO and people would come in and call on me, when they would come in and waste my time like that, I would make sure that not meet again.
So, you know, you bring up a couple of things. Let me pull a little bit of thread on one of them. Can you give a couple examples of what it means to do your homework?
There are so many places out there to understand what a customer is experiencing. They do speeches, they go to luncheons and speak. There are articles written. They can read those articles. There are the rags, we call them the rags, but the newspapers, the news outlets for what's happening in cybersecurity, what's happening in technology, what's happening in terms of modernization. All those things are out there. They can look at a lot of the publications that come out that talk about those particular problems and how those problems are affecting various government agencies. They can also just read, there are a couple of things people never go to. One is look at what the GAO reports are saying, look at what the IG reports are saying, and go read the budget. So many, I'm gonna step out on a limb and say 95% of them don't read the budget. Read the budget. A lot of the justifications for what they are going to spend money on based upon what their needs are right there in the budget. There are other ways that you join some of these organizations, some of the associations that work very hard to understand what the customer needs are and what their requirements are, and join those organizations and help them to uncover solutions, et cetera, to help these customers. There are just so many ways to find out what you need to know before you go in and ask the customer to tell you without doing your homework and without being prepared.
No, I appreciate that. And Kevin, how do you feel when they come in for their first meeting and it's death by PowerPoint and they just sit there the whole time with a PowerPoint presentation?
So Gloria gave you, you know, great examples, both from her time as a career federal CIO, as well as, you know, in private industry before she came. And there's one thing I'd like to just make sure that we put a fine point on is looking at the budget. So between those things that are named specifically in the budget, either as just a named activity as an earmark, I mean, those really tell you the things that every agency will be doing or has to do. So I think that's an important fact. The issue with the whole PowerPoint presentation, it's good if they've done some homework and it's not just their agenda, but they're looking for a real discussion. And if some of that information is more than just their company or their product and services, but if it's also about sort of my particular agency or our industry, and hey, we've done some research and these are things that we can do for you that are related to those things. And this is where we've actually done them. So we're not just talking about this, but this is something I've done that appears to be one of your needs. And if they ask you to enter into a conversation on explaining either more in depth on what my issues or what my interests are, then it feels like a better discussion than just a PowerPoint, unless that PowerPoint has relevant, you know, information for a discussion.
All right. My guests today are Gloria Parker, former CIO at HUD, CEO of Parker Group Consulting, and Kevin Cook, Deputy CIO at HUD. So often in this industry, we hear about customer intimacy. What is customer intimacy?
I'm glad you asked that question, because so many business developers that I've come across really don't understand that when they build a relationship with a customer, it needs to be what I call a true partnership with that customer. In other words, how do they become a true partner with the customer? How do they really work to understand what that customer really needs and how they can help solve the problem? I'll tell you that when you form customer intimacy, that means to me that you have shown that customer that you are truly a consultative partner with them, that your interests are their interests, that the solutions you bring to the table are solutions that can help them to do a better job, and you ensure that your focus is customer-centric, that your focus is on making sure that the customer is benefiting from what you're bringing to the table. When that happens, the customer that you can, a business developer can establish that kind of relationship with never ends. Once that customer understands that this business developer or that business developer's company is completely interested in how to help solve real problems in that customer environment, they will continue to work with that company, that business developer, throughout. The relationships last a long time. And what I've also seen is when you do build true intimacy, and that means it goes both ways. This is not let's run in, build a quick superficial relationship to get what we want and get out, but that relationship is taken care of. You care for that relationship for forever, then you'll see those executives pick up the phone and call that business developer and that company every time they are trying to solve a problem, because they know that that company and that business developer representing that company is going to bring true value to the table, not just what the company wants, but they are truly vested in ensuring that the customer is having their problem solved.
And Gloria, in you dedicate a good amount of time or a few pages to the levels of relationships. Can you give us a little bit about that?
Sure. We've developed what we call a relationship tracking system. And it goes through 7 levels of relationships. And you don't have to hit every relationship all the way to the top to form the kind of relationship you need with the customer. So it starts with what we call the face. You start with the name. So I know this person's name. This person has just been introduced to an agency. It's all over the press. So you know this John Smith just joined XYZ agency as the CIO. Now you got to see the face. So that's step one, or phase one, is now we get to the face. That means that you're starting to do some research and figure out who this person is. And then you move on through the steps. The next step after that is to become an acquaintance of that executive that you're calling on. They know your name. You probably have gone into meetings with other people in your company. You've had something that you could offer, and they're now starting to get to know a little bit who you are. Then it moves on from there through various other levels of relationships where you become a trusted partner, all the way up to being a personal friend. Now, some people say, I don't mind being a business friend, which is one of the levels, but I really don't want to be a personal friend. That's fine. That's fine. And being a business friend says that that customer trusts you enough that when they are moving around or when you need them to introduce you to other people other agencies and in the industry, they will do that because you become a trusted partner, then a business friend, and maybe not a personal friend yet. Maybe you're not going to each other's homes and parties and going to each other's families' weddings and things like that. But as a good, solid business partner, you've established a long-term relationship that's a win-win for the customer as well as for yourself as the business developer. And we go through stages of that and measurable stages where we teach our students how to do it, how to get from one step to another. By the way, some of those can take 2 to 3 years to get to the level you want, but then how to nurture those relationships and ensure that both parties win.
Okay. And Kevin, what makes you really want to be with the industry representative?
I think the thing that that does that is what Gloria's been talking about. The preparation really is key. Someone who's really interested in my agency and that they know a little bit about the mission and they're able to talk about how their particular technology or automation solution can aid, you know, with what HUD's involved in. So they've taken the time to get to know what the priorities of HUD and the Office of the CIO, a little bit about who our customers are, and that these things that really may be able to help with solutions that address these needs rather than sort of generic solutions that they may have, but they've made it more specific to what we're talking about. The other thing is talking about a complete solution or something that is really not just a one-time thing, but this is how we'll help you evolve, period, or if you've got an overall, you know, sort of modernization effort. And this is, you know, this is what we can do for you in terms of a big picture for this portion, you know, of technology that we're in the business of. So so the best folks are really good at this, and those are things that I consider a good use of my time.
And what would make you want to keep a connection with them?
You know, so the things that, and I was listening to Gloria's sort of answer there. So on the relationships, a lot of times it is someone who brings you the right solutions, doesn't waste your time when they don't have, you know, if because there's nothing wrong. Everybody doesn't do everything, right? So there's sometimes there's something that I'm selling that you don't need right now, but I still stay in contact, say, hey, you know, I saw, you know, HUD's doing this thing, you know, that looks pretty good. You guys are doing great. You know, I'll stay connected with you when I am working on something. The other thing that is good about developing those relationships, as Gloria talked about, a lot of times those last from company to company, because as we know in this business, you know, sometimes people are in different places. But if they are have been trusted before where they really brought you a good solution or a time where they were like, hey, you know, that's not, you know, my main focus or the main thing, you know, that my company does at this time, you know, that they don't waste your time. So I think those are the things that make you want to keep a connection. So one is those folks that are really, they feel vested, you know, in the success of our agency. And they're very interested in developing the right solutions for organization and helping us to learn about innovation and things that they're doing that can bring great benefit to the organization and our specific needs. So those are the ones that you keep a connection with. And again, like I said, and I agree with Gloria, those connections can last over time or in different organizations, you know, that we're all in around the city. But just that genuine sort of approach to making things better is what makes you want to stay connected to them.
All right. My guests today are Gloria Parker, former CIO at HUD and CEO of Group Consulting, and Kevin Cook, Deputy CIO at HUD. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on Federal News Network. So let's talk about differentiators. Today, cyber, IT services, there's a lot of similarities in what we offer, but then we talk about differentiators. Can you talk about differentiators for us?
Absolutely. That's one of the fun parts I teach in my class. We have a lot of fun with it. I won't get into all that now, how much fun we have, but we make it a lot of fun to look at the differentiators. You're right, in cybersecurity, in the cybersecurity world, there are so many companies out there that offer the same or similar solutions. And at the end of the day, I used to always say in the cybersecurity world, you know, it all looks just alike. So they make it different names depending on the company, but at the end of the day, the functionality that we're dealing with in the cyber security world is all those companies are bringing pretty much the same functionality in terms of cybersecurity. So what is my differentiator if I'm bringing the same thing that other companies are bringing, so to speak? How do I differentiate? Well, there are a number of ways to differentiate, and I'm just going to name a few. We teach a lot of them in the class, but one is your management. What is the management style in your company? Is the management team or the leadership team involved? If something goes wrong, am I going to be able, as a CIO, reach out and touch the leadership in your company? Or is this one of the companies that the leadership is stand back, absent, not taking any kind of role in being intimate with the customer? That's one differentiator. Of course, there are skills, skill sets, experience that makes a difference from one company to another. There's price differences. Sometimes, you know, one company might be priced differently than another, even though they're bringing similar things. There's also the differentiation of value. What is the value that your company is actually bringing to the table? So there are a number of differentiators that companies should, BDers should understand what their differentiation actually is. Is it cost? Is it value? Is it management? Is it experience? Is it the skill set? Is it innovation, innovative solutions that are just a little bit more innovative than their competition? And it's very imperative that the business development team really takes time to define what their differentiator is and be able to sell that differentiator, particularly when they are in an arena like cybersecurity, where a lot of the products and services are very similar.
So kind of on that, but when you meet with somebody, what do you expect to gain with an industry rep? As we talk about the different things that Gloria just talked about, what do you expect to gain when you meet with somebody?
You know, interesting enough, one of the things that I look at with each one of those meetings or those connections is that I'm also going to learn more about, you know, what's going on in our industry. A lot of times that... depending on, you know, who it is, they may have access to newer approaches, you know, even, you know, before we do, right, you know, in terms of the government. And so what I look forward to with those is really a clear understanding on what we can do to resolve, you know, some of the issues that we're dealing with. I look at, again, learning about the new technologies that are out there, the things that folks are working on right now, and, you know, the knowledge that they bring to the table around the industry. And so it's a learning experience every time for me as well, and a chance to communicate really to someone, you know, the challenges that we have and the problems that we're trying to solve and how, you know, they might be able to help with that based on, you know, what they're talking about and what they're bringing to the table. So that's, you know, that's sort of my approach to those conversations and what I expect to take out of it.
Okay. So, Gloria, you know, we're talking a lot of techniques, and we've covered just the surface. So tell us about the book. You described why you wrote it, but can you tell us about it and tell us when will we find it and kind of things that you put together to complement it?
Sure. The book, again, is called The Billion Dollar Secret, Secrets to Winning Business from a Former Government Executive. It is currently on Amazon.com. And so you can go there and purchase it. The book is probably in the neighborhood of about 117 or so pages, but it really outlines from start to finish what I consider to be the process, the systematic approach to marketing to the federal government, selling to the federal government. It starts out talking about the whole structure of the federal government that most business developers don't understand. As a matter of fact, most business developers will never go look to see what legislative issues are on the table in Congress and the Senate. Not that they can approach them, but it's really nice to understand, since they are the ones who appropriate the budget, what it is that's on their minds, what they think is the right thing for the agencies to do. It talks about the judicial system and how some of the decisions that are coming down in the judicial system might impact what that company is thinking about or trying to sell or pursue. It goes on to describe not only the environment that you're marketing in, it talks about who's who in the federal government, how they make decisions. It talks about contracting, some of the things that you need to know to stay out of trouble in the contracting world. It goes on to talk about how to build relationships and the things that we've already talked about, like differentiators, et cetera. And one part in here talks about how to create the mindset to connect with the customer executive. In other words, and Kevin has mentioned this as well, you don't go in selling a widget. You go in consulting on a solution. You go in making sure that you've got that customer's best interest and what they are thinking about at heart, not just one tool or one widget that you're trying to sell.
All right. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me today. My guests today have been Gloria Parker, former CIO at HUD and CEO of Parker Group Consulting, and Kevin Cook, Deputy CIO at Housing and Urban Development. I am Sean Kelly, and thank you for listening. Keep up with the latest cybersecurity news following me on Twitter at Mr. Sean Kelly, and we will see you next month.
You've been listening to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly on Federal News Network. Tune in Friday mornings at 10:30 or subscribe to this show on iTunes or Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.